welcome back to Dragon Readers, a podcast about the inheritance cycle. I'm Nora. I'm joined by Em.
We've returned to the battlefield.
We have.
We finished Eldest.
We finished Eldest. People died. People fought. People lived.
I must admit, I think that this is the weakest section of a book of Eldest. Maybe the weakest section of book overall we've read to this point.
Mm-hmm.
In this episode. Mostly because it hinges on a reveal.
Yes.
And I think the reveal is fucking stupid in like two directions.
Okay. Do you want to do a summary first, or do you want to jump into it?
Oh, okay. God, what the fuck even happened? So, Aragorn's been changed to his full magical elven human hybrid rider self. They're doing some real eugenic shit with him, where he's now the best and brightest of anyone. He beats that guy in combat. That guy's like, oh, I was wrong. You are the great white hope of all of our races. And then there's a whole bit where his, what's Oromus? Is that his teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Am I just making that shit up? What's it? Yeah, no, Oromus. Oromus is like, there's no gods. The dwarves believe in a god and whatever. We let them do that. But like, come on, there's no god. Science is the only thing that rules. All elves are / atheism, apparently.
Right. They have a whole conversation about religion.
Yeah, which mostly boils down to the elves are always right, and the elves say science is the only thing that's true, and never has anything violated the natural order of anything, not once, but the natural order is a made-up thing because magic's real, so whatever. Stupid. You can't have rationalism and magic systems exist side by side. I fundamentally believe that this is like you just clowning on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they decide... Aragorn sees a vision of... God, I don't even remember. The war's about to happen, right? Is that the thing that happens? I don't remember what gets him out the door.
No, he has... I think he has a dream, or he scries Nasuada and the war council.
Right. Is he looking at Arya? Is that why he does this? I think he's looking at Arya.
I don't remember. It could
and
be.
Sees the work. Anyway, he's like, oh, why didn't you tell me things are fucked up? And they're like, well, you know, we knew, but we wanted to finish your training as much as possible. If you run off too early, have you seen Empire Strikes Back? And he's like, no, it's a fantasy world. There's also a bit where we find out that the reason that Galvatorix can use magic that's way above his power level is he can just like... instead of using his own power source, could just pull from life around him, which is a thing Aragorn does once and is horrified by. And he's like, yeah, that's why we don't do it, because it's awful. You just get to feel everything around you die. But it does, like, superpower your magic. Anyway, he decides he's going to leave. They give him a bunch of gifts, which is mostly, like, equipment to store magic power in, because if you put gems in equipment, you can dump magic into it as, like, a well for when you're running out of your own. And he flies off to the battlefield. Meanwhile, Rorin's on a boat.
Boat stuff happens.
Basically, boat stuff. The end. Rorin will show up in
later.
There's
a big whirlpool.
Yes. There's a whole bit where they're being chased, and they have to go through a whirlpool. Yeah, no one ever goes through the whirlpool, and then they spin around the whirlpool. The other ships get pulled in, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen the, what is that, the third Pirates movie?
Uh-huh.
Was that out yet when this was written?
If it was, it wasn't by much.
Okay. I'm gonna give Christopher this one.
They do steal this new boat, and
yes.
Rorin kills some people, and
yes.
Then he has to like also convince the sailors to stick with them.
Honestly, they don't need that much convincing. They're all pretty decent people. Anyway.
Rorin is also very scary.
Yeah. Nasuada's leading her forces out. They're like fighting in this field where it's always burning because of, I assume it's like sulfur underneath. They explained it, but I don't remember.
They said
like
peat.
I said, yeah. Oh, right. There's like, it's like a bunch of peat. So assuming at some point this was more of a grassland, but once the fire started under the ground, the peat has been burning. Like that mining town in Pennsylvania that's been burning for like 100 years.
Centralia, I think.
Yes. Thank you. Aragorn shows up at the nick of time. They're like, oh, we could use you. Please, please do anything. We're going to get our asses beat. And what he does is he rallies the mages around him, kind of takes over the mage group. making that one lady kind of mad at him, but he smooths it over because mm-hmm. he needs to know. Basically, he's like, shit, I have come a long way. The classic thing once you have a training montage is you got to see them against people who used to be formidable, but now they're nothing. They're peasants. Mm-hmm. And he's sick as hell. And the battle happens. He goes around just like blowing enemy mages' minds out with his magical power. And there's a bunch of fighting. They're waiting for the dwarves to show up. The elves will come eventually. They're having a bad time, and then Rorin shows up with his boat, and they think that this is going to defeat us. The enemy has reinforced themselves with this nice new boat, but then Aragorn and a bunch of ghosts come out, basically.
The ghosts are a bunch of ballistas.
Yes, but he's literally doing the Return of the King thing on this one. This yeah. one I'm not going to give Chris credit for. You did just lift this one entirely. And Rorin has everyone fire their ballistas and comes out on the battlefield himself. And it's like, they're still like fighting to a standstill, but it's better than everyone hoped. And then another dragon appears, the red dragon from the cover. And he's being ridden by a mysterious guy with a full suit of armor on, and they have a big battle. And then Aragorn goes, "I know this fighting style," and it's Murtagh. He's still alive, and it's revealed that the twins did not kill him. They definitely killed the other guy, or you know, led him to his death. Ajahad.
Yeah,
but instead brought him to Galbatorix, and Galbatorix, like bound him to his command through like torture and whatever, and influenced. So he's sworn his allegiance in the ancient tongue, so he can't break the oaths even if he wanted to. And also, Murtagh got the dragon to hatch, one of the other dragon eggs.
And also, on top of the oaths in the ancient language, Galbatorix knows their true names.
Yes, right. And gave him that dragon to be his. And they need to get Saphira because both the dragon eggs, well, the one that's hatched and the other egg are male. So Saphira is the last female dragon in the world. And he wants to restore magic, like the dragons, thus restoring magic. And he's like, come join me. We could do this together. And then drops a final reveal that he and Aragorn are half-brothers or just brothers?
Half-brothers.
Half-brothers.
No, brothers. Because he reveals that the mother that he spoke vaguely about in the first book is actually Selena, who is Aragorn's mother, which
yes.
means that Aragorn is his brother and Morzan's son.
Yes. So they're both brothers, and then Aragorn's like, no, that's not true, that's impossible. He's like, but you're just like me. And he's like, no, I'm not, my scar was healed. And Murtagh's like, fuck, well, I guess I'm leaving. No reason other than to like, you know, we used to be bros. I'm not actually, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Murtagh is maybe the least compelling evil guy in the world because he's not evil. He's just trapped.
He's stuck in there.
And he flies away. He's like, next time I won't go easy on you because this is the second book of four. and then at the, Rorin single-handedly kills the twins by bashing their brains in with his giant hammer, which is sick as hell.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Aragorn. He's like, I need your help to get Katrina. And he scries for Katrina and he's like, I know where she is. We can work together and we're gonna go fucking get Katrina, as the Varden take in the rest of, you know, the, survivor refugees. That's the word I'm looking for. And that's the end of the book. Oh, also, the Dwarven King shows up and gets fucking destroyed by magic instantly.
Yeah, Murtagh kills Hrothgar.
Yes.
And second thing that happens is just what you wanted, which is when Rorin and Aragorn finally meet, Rorin decks him in the face.
Yeah, but Aragorn does go, I had to make sure he didn't flex too hard. He would have broken his hand on my manly jaw. I'm like, man, sometimes this book is bad.
That's true.
But mostly a bunch of combat stuff, which I don't think is, like, super, super interesting.
Angela shows up. She poisoned a bunch of people.
Angela does poison a bunch of people, and then everyone goes, oh, shit, the actual best thing in this entire section of reading happened, which is some Uruks show up and swear allegiance to Nasawada, saying, we broke our mind control. We don't want to work for them. They're fucking using magic to control us, and we resent that fact. And if you give us land and a place where we can, like, be a people, we'll join up with you. And
yeah.
Nasawada's like, absolutely. And Aragorn's like, oh, I'm being racist. And she's like, please search your heart, Aragorn. And by searching heart means lets him mind meld with with these Urgles, and he sees that they all come from a place with real culture. They had moms and, you know, they're chieftains of great renown, and realizes that his racism is shameful, and decides to work with them. And then two of them like instantly die, but they are like his, like, he's hanging out with them, fighting with them. They're part of his like war band during the big battle.
Yeah. We get another nickname for Aragorn here, which is Fire Sword.
Yes.
He's Fire Sword, and Saphira is Flame Tongue to the Urgles.
Yes, yes.
Garshbog is one of my favorite characters.
Okay.
So, he's cool.
He's got, like, it's not quite the Klingon problem, but it's not the Klingon problem, which is, by being... like war, like tribal warrior coded, it gives them racial coding by the nature of the world we live in, mm-hmm. where tribal people are either like Native Americans or like, you know, tribal Africans or like Mongolian warriors. We don't think of like white people as, and also the Urgles are not described as white specifically, you know, as these sorts of peoples, and thus the things that come with them come with a bunch of baggage. Also, there's all the shit with Aragorn and the elves being like, oh, to be white is the greatest thing you can be. Aragorn got his fucking skin bleached when he became the Ubermensch. You know, it's hard to get over that stuff. You know, as far as warrior guys go, they seem pretty cool. There's a bit where Oryk's like, oh, I still don't trust him, and Aragorn's like, oh, I realize this dwarf could never unlearn his racism like I could by my magic shortcuts to
character. It's so character funny growth. That Aragorn has a 30-second racism arc.
Yes.
All it takes is just to read their minds, and suddenly he's completely like, oh, I get it. Oh. There's
definitely a sort of like... there's whenever a personal failing of Aragorn's is put in his way, he kind of just gets over it in like a chapter in a way that just feels like cheap. There's just not a lot there. It's fine, whatever. This is, you know, it's about the one special boy who gets all everything he wanted and defeats the evil king, and you know, it's going to be hard, but he'll probably succeed and everyone will be happy at the end. Is my vibe on Aragorn the book series. Which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. I don't need all my depression, my fiction to be depressing and realist. But I, the part where the elves were like, the dwarves' beliefs are fake and being white and learned is the best thing you can be. I was like, fuck off. Oh, there is a part of this. There is a fucking bit where when Rohan and Aragorn meet and they're just like chilling after the battle, Rohan asks Aragorn if Nas Sawada's skin is like dyed that color, because he's never seen a black person before.
Yes, I thought that line was in the first book, but I realize unless Murtagh did say that.
As far as this book's concerned, Nas Sawada and Azjahad are the only black people that exist.
Yes. That is going to be addressed in our next reading segment.
Okay.
I don't remember how well that's going to go, but
okay.
That is going, we're going to stare down the barrel of that in the next episode we record.
Okay. But yeah, it's mostly just stuff happens because they got to wrap up the book. So I don't know how much I have like to say about any of it. There is a bit where it turns out that Nas Sawada's lace thing has been wildly successful. In fact, it is like devastating the economy of the city. In what's the city they're in? I don't remember the name of the city.
I don't remember the name of the city. It's the country is Cirta, but I don't know the city.
Yeah, Cirta. Yeah, like all of our merchants are going broke, and she's like, "Well, my guys are doing just fine. You told me to find something to do. I found something to do."
Do you need a loan?
Yeah, they're like, lace is such an unseemly way to fund an army, and she's like, why? Dumb.
But I like that stuff.
That stuff's very funny to me. There is the indication that Oryk might be the next Dwarven king, which I'm really excited about.
There's some really good dwarf stuff in the next book that is part of why it's my favorite book.
Okay, I'm excited about that.
Obviously, you've kind of known this whole time that Murtagh's not really dead.
No, because you wouldn't kill four characters off like that haphazardly, only one of them coming back to actually die on screen.
Uh-huh.
Because I've read a book before.
Also, if you had happened to have seen the cover of the Murtagh book, you would have seen the big red dragon behind it.
Oh, no, I've not seen the cover of the Murtagh book.
We have Thorn, this new younger red dragon.
Yes.
Which pairs with Zarok, because that means misery. Murtagh takes the sword.
Oh, right, he does take the sword.
Conveniently does not take the priceless heirloom belt that it's attached to on Aragon, which is the belt of Beloth the Wise, which has 12 flawless diamonds in it.
Yeah, nor his, like, Queen of the Elves sang him a new bow, because he broke his bow once he became a Superman.
Right, he was too strong.
Yeah. He tried to pull his normal old bow that he grew up with, and it snapped, and then she sang him a new bow. As part of her, like, Galadriel parting gifts.
Yeah. I know this was kind of a shorter section, at least it feels like it.
Yeah. It's weird, because this whole section kind of feels on fast forward anyway.
Yeah, it does. I remember it not feeling like that when I was a child, but I was a child.
Yeah, because it's been so, like, languid is the wrong word for anything Christopher Paolini writes, but there is a certain sort of, like, we're just going to take the time to stop, and Aragorn's going to learn stuff, and the reader's going to learn stuff, and isn't it fun to learn stuff about the world? And I'm like, yes, I do like your world building. It's not that bad, as long as you're keeping all the weird racial purity stuff out of it. Uh-huh. And then he takes off, and suddenly it's like 800 things happen. The battle doesn't even have a bunch of, like, gore stuff like the last battle did. He's really toned that down in this book.
Yeah, and that's going to continue.
It's like everyone was like, oh, you can't be that much of an edgelord when it comes to the slaying. And I was like, okay, I guess. I kind of like that stuff, because that's who I am. But I, okay. Also, Aragorn just kind of kills people with his mind now, which is not fun. It's not as fun when he just, like, makes people's heads they don't actually explode. They just,
yeah.
I assume he's basically giving them, like, aneurysms, and they die.
Yeah, basically.
They just drop dead. Yeah.
He's killing them with the energy it takes to lift a finger.
Yes. So. If you poke someone in the brain, they're going to die. I get it. Nasawada gives a full-on Theoden speech, but it's like, shit, this is a thing Christopher Paolini cannot do, which is write Theoden speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame, because I like Nasawada, but she really doesn't... It is... In this book, she's not incompetent. She's actually highly competent, but the thing that she's good at is, like, management in a world where no one's a manager. And, like, that's not a slight on her. I think it's, like, a pretty good superpower, honestly. I'm interested in it. Like, one of the reasons Dracula's one of my favorite books is it's about good note-taking. It's about the thing that'll save you as a really good secretary. But she is, like, someone... Once Aragorn shows up, she's like, here's the six things I need you to do that no one else can do. Don't worry about the rest. I've already got people doing those things, but no one else could do this stuff. And it works. Because he doesn't know what the fuck to do. He's like, I guess I'll be a warrior. And she's like, I don't really need you to be a warrior that much. I need you to do these other things. I need you to rally the troops. I need you to organize the mages. I need you to, like, give us some direction on who to attack. Things of that nature. And I do appreciate that about her. But she can't give a speech to save her life, unfortunately.
No.
There's a bit where when they're getting ready for battle, when Angela's getting her, like, double-bladed lightsaber together, Oryk and his men are all like, oh, she stole that from our monks. We hate it. I'm excited for more of that, because I guess that's just going to be a going concern. Yeah.
Angela's neat.
She is pretty good. Oh, the what's her face? The girl with the curse.
Elva.
Yeah, Elva is running around. Aragorn immediately meets her and apologizes and says he's going to undo her thing as soon as he can. Doesn't happen in this book. I'm not sure it'll happen in the next one. Yeah, he's like, after this battle, I'll fix it. But she's really convenient. Honestly, I'd wait until you finish Galvatorix before I do this. I know it's, like, it's hard for her, but I feel like she's already extremely, like, because there's a whole bit where they're like, is it in this book or was it last reading? Where there was an assassination attempt on Nasawada.
I think it was in this section.
Okay. Elva, like, saves her, but basically, like, points out where the other mages are, knowing that Nasawada's mages are going to go and, like, torture them for the information, and it causes her great pain to give up the information knowing it's going to cause someone else harm because of her curse, but does it anyway. So she's absolutely willing to self-sacrifice for the greater good, so why not keep her a cool assassin?
Because it makes her sad.
Look, everyone's sad. It's not a book about people being happy.
Imagine if it was a book about people being happy.
Fair enough. I just think she's kind of cool. I would keep her being cool a little longer, because the thing is, once he takes away her curse, in theory she won't have any of the magic or anything, because it only comes from the curse. unless they just shortcut that where she's no longer compelled to do good, even at great personal cost, but she still has all of her weird assassin powers, which would be the most coward move in the world. I'm going to state that clearly right now.
Okay. Okay. Noted.
Yeah. I think you have to do one or the other. Either she, at great personal cost, she's a badass, or she's just normal again and she can't do anything and she's sad about that. Those are the two paths.
That would kind of suck to be like, okay, well, now I've made it to, like, teenage, kind of, yeah. But now
I'm a 3-month-old teenager, but I have no more magic, and I can't kill anybody, I don't know anything, so...
And I'm not gonna grow any faster, so I have to slow down now.
Yeah. Either way, it's bad. I would stay an assassin, at least until the war's over, shit.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't die of old age by then.
Yes, that's true. Roran forgives Aragorn very quickly, which is fine. I didn't want it to be a protracted thing, but it really speaks of, there's a whole bit where when people see Roran, they're like, oh, he's like wild man. He's capable of anything. And I'm like, not really. He's like, he's done some murders, but it's always been for cause. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the book, especially like Oromus's teachings, are about the way in which, If your cause is just commit the act. Don't feel bad about it. Like, I guess feel bad about it, but like, don't wallow in regret if you believe in what you're doing. Believe in what you're doing. And no one exemplifies that more than Roran, who is saving his entire village.
Yeah.
I don't think he needs to be too tortured about it. Like, I hope he gets Katrina back, and I hope he mellows out a little, and I hope that's cool because I like him. I can't believe that they just made me like this guy, but they did it.
Yeah, he's going to get up to some shit in the next one, so I'm excited for you to get to that. Maybe almost
I like the idea that he's like, he doesn't have magic, right? He's just got a hammer. Right. He's just like a wild man with a hammer, right? Yeah. He's like some fucking bearded guy on YouTube who's, you're like, are you into Viking shit because you think it's cool, or are you like a fascist? And you gotta be really careful when you watch his videos. You're looking for the red flags. But so far, he's been giving me less and less red flags as he goes on, which is not the way I thought this was gonna go.
Yeah. The twins... The technomancers from To Sleep in a Sea of Stars were kind of inspired by the twins.
Absolutely. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah. What if the twins were not creepy guys alike, but were just a nice old couple?
Yeah, they're just hanging out. They're super dead now.
Oh, yeah, they extremely got their heads exploded. Not the old couple, the twins.
It didn't go
great for the old couple either.
Hrothgar gets owned by magic missile, which is...
Yeah, he literally just like takes one in the chest immediately on entering the battlefield, which sucks for him.
And then all of his spellcasters try to save his life and instantly die.
Yeah. Also, everyone feels really bad that like he didn't even die. And like this is not an honorable death. He just got hit by a missile and died. Like, that's not...
That's rough.
I think the dwarves are harder on it than they should be. You know, what are you going to do? You get hit with a missile. It was from a rider, at least, you know? Murtaugh killed him.
If magic's that big of a deal, you should have teamed up and become riders with the humans, and then maybe you'd have more spellcasters to defend him.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask the elves, dwarves can't even become riders, so...
Well, Orin said, like, it's not natural for dwarves to be in the sky.
Yeah. Well, they're not even in the, like, pact, right? So, in theory, it's, like, by the laws of the world of this place, it's not possible for dwarves to be riders.
Yeah.
I guess you could amend the pact.
They amended it to add humans.
Yeah. If you amended it once, and there were way more dragons back then, now there's only, like, 3. And so do it now. I guess 4, technically, but 1's an egg, so...
You got to maximize the potential people for it to hatch for.
Well, I'm just saying, I would assume it would be easier to amend the pact as there's less dragons because there's less magic to try to like nudge in a direction. I don't know. It's all made up.
Unless it's powered by dragons, in which case it's weaker now and it would be harder. Yeah. But I guess you could just make it up.
Yeah. But yeah, it was nice to get like some stuff moving. it's kind of a shame that we're not going to be training with Oramus. I hope we see him again. I mean, we will see him again, but I don't know how much he's going to be in the books at this point, mm-hmm. since he can't fight.
So the next book has a subtitle.
Yes, The Seven Promises of Whatever.
Yeah. Do you want to guess what the seven promises are, or would you like me to remind you?
Let's see. Let me think on this. One, get Katrina for Rowan.
Mm-hmm.
Two, Saphira has to fix the giant gem she broke.
Right.
Three, Aragorn has to remove the curse.
The curse?
From, what's her face?
Oh, Elva.
Elva, yeah. Four, you have to go back to Dagobah and complete your training.
Yes.
Five, he probably wants to save Murtaugh and swears on it, even though that's really stupid.
That's not one of them, but...
Okay. Do I know what the other ones are? Have they been stated?
All but one of them have been stated out loud.
Okay. I mean, is one of them just defeat Galbatorix?
No.
Okay.
It's... So, rescue Katrina, free Elva from her curse.
Yeah.
Fix the Star Sapphire. Return to complete his training.
Yes.
Repay Gedrick the Tanner for the leather that Aragorn stole in book one.
Shut the fuck up.
tell Jode.
That one's at the bottom of the quest journal. I'm not doing that one. Fuck you.
Tell Jode how Brom died.
Who? Oh, Jode, right, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit about that. Come on.
And one more that would be a spoiler, but...
Okay. There you go. Those ones you could do, like, in 5 minutes. Those ones you'd knock it out, right out of the park. Those guys are right there. You could just do it now.
I have great news about a particular chapter of Brisinger. Yeah, I'm excited. Like I've said before, this one is my favorite of the series. I have our reading guide pulled up.
Oh, I will say, at the end of this one, there's like a little thing of Chris where he's like, oh, thank you for reading. I'm really excited to get this next one out. We'll finish this whole thing up. And I was like, bro, you don't even know.
Yeah, this is 2005.
Yeah. By the time this comes out in 2008, it's half the book. And it's also longer by a bunch. It's 831 pages. And then there's a fourth book. So,
yeah,
the bloat is real. People need to just scope better on your trilogies.
This was like a whole thing at the time. It's the style at the time.
Yeah. Some might argue it's still the style.
You just don't call it a trilogy. You just call it like...
You just be like, I'm writing these until they stop selling. And then you just keep going.
We will be
get popular enough where you just can not write them ever again, like Jar Jar R. Martin.
Or Patrick Rothfuss.
I don't know anything about Rothfuss. I know you bring him up, but it falls out of my head like water.
That's a good way to live. Anyway, our first episode covering Brisinger, or The Seven Promises of Aragorn Shadeslayer and Saphira Bjartschuler, we'll be covering the chapters The Gate of Death through Shadows of the Past.
Okay.
So, everybody, get
ready. Love to open on The Gate of Death.
Yeah. We know what that means, though. We've encountered that already.
Have we? No, I don't remember.
It's Helgrind.
What's Helgrind? Oh, right. The big tower.
Yeah.
Right?
Cult city.
Yeah.
The big tower, the mountain outside of the Dras Leona, where the Razak live.
Yeah. I'm excited to read more. I had to go and read some other stuff I wanted to read The Farthest Shore for Shell by Genre. I had some other stuff to do, working on Beowulf and everything. I wanted to read something for fun. I did that. But once I finished this, I was like, shit. I mean, I didn't even like how that ended, and I'm ready to just read the third one. So I'm glad I can finally start the third one again.
Yeah. I'm also excited. And also, I'm going to try and keep up with your Beowulf episodes.
Yeah.
Because I've had this exact translation of Beowulf on my shelf for like 2 years.
We talk about it tomorrow, but it won't come out for another week if you're listening to this on the Patreon feed. But I'm telling Nora this, not the listener. I just was like fucking felt rowdy reading that. It's such a good translation. It's just like, let's fucking go.
Yeah, it's great. I've had the first part recited to me before, but I've never actually like read it.
Okay, so. Yeah. Beowulf in general is like kind of a rowdy book, rowdy poem by its nature, and just really highlights the amount that it's just people cutting promos and getting their arms ripped off, and it's sick as hell.
Just a bear man running around doing bear man stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine if there was a bear man in Aragorn. I guess we have Rohan, but...
Yeah, Rohan, I feel like Murtagh could have been a bear man, but now he's not. Now he's something else. Now he's been Kylo Ren. The one shame of, I guess he's got to be cast in the movie. Don't tell me who he is. I don't want to know. Don't pollute my brain with this. But the shame of there not being like four Aragorn movies is we never got the Kylo Ren arc for Murtagh.
That's true. I won't tell you who they cast, because I don't fucking know. But they knew who they were hiring when they cast Murtagh. So
okay.
There's that at least.
Okay. Sure.
They were ready for a Kylo Ren arc that never happened.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's good. That's exciting. We'll watch that one. Probably when we finish these four. I don't think, if you want to do it like after all seven, we could do that. But I just want to wait until we finish the four.
It's only 'cause
I assume those other things are not super relevant.
It's just six, not seven.
I thought there was like a short story.
Yeah, there's the four books plus the collection of three short stories. Plus the
You know what? I saw Aragorn's Guide to Alagaesha, but that's not a real thing, is it?
That's like a splat book.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
I've never read it. I think it's
got... Yeah, this is just like a thing that you'd fucking sell in Scholastic, right? Like, I don't care about this.
Yeah, it's similar to those like dragonology books or whatever.
Yeah.
That's where all the art on the wiki comes from. Now I understand.
Okay.
There's this picture of all the different peoples of Alagaesha standing around like a third edition source book, and I didn't know where it was from.
No, oh, okay.
But yeah. I haven't read Murtagh, so we'll see what happens when I have to split it up into episodes, because I won't know what's what.
But. Yeah, just, you know, kind of down the middle. I mean, I don't know how long the book is.
I'm going to type in Murtagh length, and I'm going to hope that I get what I want. 700 pages.
Okay, so probably like three episodes for that, I guess.
Yeah, I think I have an idea for the first stopping point, but we'll get there.
Okay. the short story book will probably just be... I guess it's three. I was like, it should be two episodes. We could probably do that in one. It'll just be it'll be a long week.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm just checking the length here. It's 280 pages.
Yeah. Which is like more than I want to do for a single episode. But if they're short stories, it should be fine.
Yeah.
Worst comes to worst, we just take 3 weeks to read it instead of two.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. This is a problem for 2 months from now, because we got two giant books to read first.
That's so true.
Four months from now. We'll be doing this in July is when we'll be reading that.
Hey, that's a birthday present for me.
Yeah, there you go.
And then we'll start a Let's Play of the video game.
I'm not going to be doing that with you. You're welcome to do that. I give you my blessing. I will not be doing that. Yeah.
All right, well, that does it for Eldest. May your sword stay sharp, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you mentioned some kind of podcast where you're reading Beowulf. What's that about?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at @em_bang. You can find all my podcasts at abnormalmapping.com. The one that's about books is Around the Longfire with me and Neve, who's also on the Export Audio Network doing Ornate Stairwells and other stuff besides, where we read classics. It started with Icelandic Sagas, but it's just become a classics podcast. We just finished the Nibelungenlied, and we're starting Beowulf, which will be a 3-week short one, and then we're going to read Lamort d'Arthur, which I'm really excited about reading that also. That will not be a short one. That'll be an incredibly long one that takes months. But check it out. Abnormalmapping.com/longfire, I think, will get you there. If you want to support my work, you do patreon.com/normalmapping, where you will get an episode that Autumn was on recently. Autumn and Dio were on. If you're listening to this on the Patreon feed, it's not out yet. That's at the end of the week, but everyone else, it's already out. We talked about bullshit. It was nothing. It was a great time. If you just like off-the-cuff riffing, we've got it for you.
Hell yeah.
Baldur's Gate came up more than once.
Oh, great. Yep. I was playing Baldur's Gate at 6:01 today when I should have been getting set up for this podcast.
It's legal, because Autumn loves Baldur's Gate. Anyone who listens to an Export Audio podcast production would know that. And Dia fucking hates Baldur's Gate. As anyone who's watched Dia Let's Play Baldur's Gate 3 would know.
It's true.
And basically for the exact same reasons. It's not like either of them are wrong. They just like both of them identify what the game does. One of them just hates it. One of them loves it. You know?
Yeah. It's like that sometimes.
You know, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and other places at Skulldaughter, at various websites. I won't list them all, but you know them all. You can find this podcast at patreon.com/exportaudio. And I recommend you do so, because if you pay us a dollar, you will get these episodes a week early.
Which, you should do that. You should absolutely do that. Not only for this, but basically for Ornate Stairwells, because it's the podcast I drop everything to listen to. I thought there was going to be one this week because I forgot how this week's been the longest week of my life. I don't know why. And I was really sad there wasn't an Ornate Stairwells. I know that's not either of our podcasts. I'm just a big fan.
You know, that's my wife's podcast, so I'm a big fan, yeah. Even though I don't listen.
It's probably my favorite podcast, so
yeah, well, there you go.
Don't tell Neve I said that.
Do you think that Neve is listening to this right now?
No.
Okay.
You know what? I don't think so, but maybe.
You'll know soon. You'll check your phone.
I will know in 4 weeks when I get a message.
Beyond that, we do other podcasts. We have not been doing as many podcasts, or at least I have not been doing as many podcasts. I'd like to change that busy. This year.
You went out of town. Like, you've been busy.
Yeah, that's true. I went on vacation.
Yeah.
But more things are in the works. Not really dragon-related things, necessarily, but, you know. There's podcasts coming. I think Autumn.
Look, if I know one thing about Export Audio is that eventually it'll always be dragon related.
Yeah, that's true. There's so many good dragons in the world.
I don't think I go here, but if you say so.
But yeah, give us your money and get some podcasts.
Yeah.
And we're all happy. Unlike Aragorn.
Yeah, I mean, he honestly, of all the people in the book, he might be the happiest, even though he's pining for that girl. He's mostly all right. There's very little that's gone wrong with him at this point.
Well, he's fucked up over his family situation now, but
yeah, whatever. He at the end of this, he's already come to the logical conclusion. I'm glad they didn't spend a lot of time on it, which was like, oh, Rurin's my brother, and that guy who raised me, whose name I don't remember, is my dad.
Yeah, Karrok. Karrok?
Yeah.
Garrow.
Who's Garrow, Paddock? Garrow. I don't know.
Is that from...
But that's just the normal thing to conclude, is that your found family who raised you is your real family. Done. Not a problem. Thank you, Aragorn.
I was thinking of Craddock from Chronicles of Prydain, who is also a complicated father figure of the protagonist.
Okay.
But not complicated, but like there's a plot happening there. Anyway, that's it for this podcast. I have to work in the morning, so I'll probably go to bed soon.
Okay. Yeah, I've got dinner coming, so I'm going to eat some Indian food soon.
I wish that were me, but instead we have a gallon of chicken fried rice I got to get through.
It was the biggest container of rice I've ever seen. Okay, we're done.